Hey, this is Pete Cironis with Docks and Bridges, and I am psyched to be back talking with my friend and colleague, Samara Schulman, president of On Point Consulting. Good to see you.
Nice to be here, Pete, as always.
I love it. I love it. And we're going to dive into this. It's Cybersecurity Month. There's a month of celebrating how technology is keeping things safe and secure across all critical infrastructure, all businesses and homeowners and whatever devices we have in our house, but it's also an opportunity to also remind everybody that there is risk with cybersecurity, physical security. And this year, we know back in March, we had the National Cyber Strategy released. And then what we're going to dive into, or at least tee up for today for our audience, the National Cyber Workforce and Education Strategy with a tagline of Unleashing America's Cyber Talent, which was dated July 31st, 2023. With that, I also want to share for our audience that we're excited that we will be delving into each of the four pillars. Samara will give us some high-level comment on why those are so important, but they could be their own podcast, which we plan to address. So, yes, we want to introduce the significance of having a cyber workforce, an informed workforce, as I like to say, and that's what we'll dive into today. So, a little bit of background: the Office of National Cyber Director, ONCD, advises the President of the United States on cybersecurity policy and strategy. This group, the ONCD, is a big part of this document that we're going to talk about. The National Cybersecurity Workforce and Education Strategy and Implementation is intended to keep all Americans secure and boost the next generation of innovation in the United States, and that we have to constantly and continuously address this each and every day because cyber threats do not take a break. So, with that opening remark, and again, focusing mostly on what's the intent, Samara, I know you've read it, so don't use up all your wonderful wisdom on the pillars and your opinion, but what does this document speak to you?
I think we could probably, at least you and I, could talk for days dissecting this document. There's so much in here, so many ideas that lead to other ideas and thoughts. What really spoke to me are the strong sentences in the introduction. Even in the letter, the very first sentence, technology and humanity are intertwined, period, spoke so loudly to me because as I read this stuff, I read it with multiple hats, right? I read it as president of On Point. I read it as somebody who's been in this industry for over a decade. I read it as a mother. I read it as a citizen. I read it as a daughter. And this is something that affects all of us in different ways. So the fact that it comes out with the very first sentence, technology and humanity are intertwined. That's what pulled me in because, yes, they are. And then to just keep reading about the different challenges that are noted and vacant cyber jobs and barriers to accessing cyber education and insufficient diversity within the workforce, different things just kept calling out to me. There's very overt hints, shall we say, of collaboration and public and private and nonprofits and academia and just. It pulls everything together. And like you said, I mean, the importance of cybersecurity. Yes, it is Cybersecurity Awareness Month. Hopefully, we are all very aware of it all 12 months of the year. But you know, there's also a ton going on right now with the workforce. The workforce landscape is constantly changing. But for the past 3 years, we've had this pandemic. We've been dealing with COVID. We've been watching to see how COVID plays into that. How it is it going to stop playing into that? We're in a remote workspace. We're in a hybrid workspace. We're now going back to the office workspace. We've got different skills. We've got different people reskilling. We've got a lack of skills. We're trying to figure out, I think, in just the global cyberspace world, what is necessary. And I think to me, this called out to me. It involves both cyber, obviously, and the workforce, and it's the cross section of both.
I love it. And that's a lot in terms of a perspective coming from you. You brought the humanity component into it. We are homeowners, we are parents, we are wives, we're husbands, we're sons, we're daughters. And I recently was having a talk with some folks about, firmware, right? And people like, what is it? Why do I care? And you brought up COVID. Like when we all were back in our homes, we didn't realize how much connectivity we had and what was there in terms of whether it was a smart device and the risk of what if that was breached, right? Right. We hear about, we got to know what we have and we got to be putting in those security measures, even if it's your just authentication, your encryption, your password. And we're talking about workforce today, and it's an onus on everybody, right? You and I always hear about this whole of government approach. Well, it's not just the government writing documents. We have to read these, interpret them, and then, of course, see how that can apply, right, to our own personal lives in addition to our businesses. I do want to emphasize it's a first of its kind comprehensive approach aimed at addressing both immediate and long-term cyber workforce needs, the document that Samara was referencing. There are these four pillars, and again, we're not diving into each of those. You even said to me when we were prepping for this a bit, like, why the first two kind of spoke to you, but you said that they're very tightly aligned. Can you just give a high level and a little bit of a taste of why these pillars seem to be of interest and should be to everybody and anybody?
I mean, the first two pillars specifically spoke to me because I've got my master's in education, and the first two focus on education. So again, present mom point aside, as a mother and as a daughter of aging parents now, when this is emphasizing in the first two that every American needs to know what cybersecurity is, basically needs to have cyber skills, how do you do that? So I found the first two pillars extremely interesting with how to interweave that into what's being taught these days to what do you do when people are out of school. Pillars three and four, again, not to jump too far ahead, but dealing with the workforce itself and the makeup of the workforce and needing a workforce that reflects Americans and how are we going to do that and how do we build this workforce, like you said, going forward. But there are a few, again, themes that call out, right? Throughout, we're talking collaboration in one sense or another. We're talking about the pace of technology. We're talking about the pace of the workforce. We've got to keep up with the pace of the cybersecurity technology, as well as the adversaries and the cybersecurity threats and trying to anticipate those. We all know we see ransomware articles and phishing articles and warnings and this and that. How do we anticipate? How do we keep up with that? And we need the workforce to be able to do that. So the fact that this looks out into the future so far ahead talks about actually changing the educational system. This isn't in the next 3 to 5 years, here's where we have to be. I mean, you're talking about changing systems and how credit is given in colleges and different master's degrees and industry certifications, and can that count towards school and this and that. I mean, we're changing systems here.
And I'm going to throw a couple of the factoids out for anybody who hasn't read it. Again, all the credit goes to the Office of National Cyber Director, Executive Office of the President, for pulling just great information together. The perspective that Samara, you've brought humanizes a bit of the conversation here and the technology. But look, across industries, apparently 92% of jobs require digital skills. Nearly one-third of America's workers lack digital skills. Look, this isn't government skills. This is just, as Samara, you pointed out, it's our parents. My mother, I hope she is listening. I wish my mother had more of the digital skills she needs at her age to just get a Lyft ride on her phone or understand how to get to stream something on her laptop. I think we and our kids and the generation, they learn stuff because they're incentivized to. It's this aging of America, and yet technology is not something that people can look the other way. So that spoke to me in terms of, from a scope perspective, this document's gonna, does get into some neat things. And I'm gonna pivot to you now with OnPoint and just, as a service provider, as a partner to government, as I like to say, you meet with a lot of the federal agencies. And I know this is important. It could be viewed as a compliance thing, but is there something that caught your attention? I'll tell you what caught mine was that how do you feel maybe the government is addressing or planning to address, because there are diverse stakeholders, there are multi-sector partners, there are always a strategy and a continuous assessment. I call that the compliance. Government must care about cybersecurity. I tend to think it always errs at times on buying the new tool versus putting the tool in place and allowing the workforce to make sense of that data. Are you finding that there's still a balance, or are you helping implement tools more so than educate a lot of the workforce?
I think it's a little from column A, a little from column B. As a contractor at OnPoint, we see it as our job to recognize that no one is in any of this alone. We're there to make sure that the right people are connected to the right things, have the right education, and that we stay up to date on everything out there, be it technology or strategies such as this one that we're talking about. Some customers like to jump to technology, but I think more and more are taking the time to evaluate technology. Obviously, that's extremely important. And then we see it on the other end that we are out there trying to spread the word and make it clear that it's not all about technology. The fact that somewhere in this document, I believe actually in the introduction letter, the third sentence is cyberspace is composed not only of technology and protocols, but also people. That's the direction that we're trying to, I guess, emphasize might be the right word. That's what we're pushing. That's what we're pushing at OnPoint. We want to make sure that, yes, that the customers realize, yes, technology is great and necessary. Is the newest sparkling technology out there necessary right away? Might be, might also not be, but that the people that surround the technology are just as important. We need to know how to use it. We need to be aware of the customers for that technology. We need to be aware of the interfaces. We need to make sure that the culture surrounding it is ready to adapt that technology. One example is zero trust and the zero trust framework. There's technologies all around that. But we have such a belief that zero trust, it's the culture that's just as important. This is changing a culture. This is changing how people operate. This is changing people's thinking towards security. It's not just buying the next best technology that's out there on the shelf. So at OnPoint, we do like to work closely with our customers to help them realize that and to figure out how we do that best as a team with our customer.
I love it. I know, having been a federal employee, kind of in this world of consulting myself, I know, in discussions with you and your team how much you focus on making sure whatever you advise or guide or help implement, it's about that workforce and that human intuition that can hopefully, just expand and get that workforce not fearful of digital technology, but more importantly, how to best leverage it.
And not embrace it.
How to embrace it. Great word. And not be scared of it. Look, some people are, but maybe that's something that kickstarts. I better learn a little bit about this, not just try to make sense of it. And I want to, before we pivot and close out, because I don't want to use all of this time to delve into the pillars, a couple things just to close out for me that really emphasized a lot of what you've summarized and what you bring to bear when you're working with your government partners. Digital literacy, digital resilience, and computational literacy. Those are terms you and I talked about preparing for this. Literacy, literacy, literacy. Folks, anybody listening, this is not stuff that is meant to be scary. Go take a class or a certification, and you can, but it's the application. And I find that literacy component, even in my world with dots and bridges, is how can we translate? How can we educate, inform, and enlighten people so they want to learn more? So my parting shot was, what's your take on that literacy component? Because I know you're a proponent as well of the growing and enhancing workforce through improvements in diversity and inclusion. And I think some people aren't as fortunate to have maybe resources to learn about this stuff, but maybe comment on that and then we'll close it out.
Yeah, I mean, as far as the literacy aspect of it, I find the definitions fascinating. I don't think that the definition of digital literacy and computational literacy and even digital resilience, I don't think that the definitions are what you would automatically assume those words mean. I find those very interesting and, but to break them down just to a basic level, these three pieces, digital literacy, computational literacy, and digital resilience really break down to we need to make sure people know how to find information. They need to know how to use the technology, right? To find and evaluate, create what do you do with that information? The computational literacy is what are the next steps of using the information? How do you best use it? And then the digital resilience, we need empowered users. We need people to feel confident. So they know how to use Instacart if they're missing an ingredient. They know how to use Uber. Not that those are sponsors of this session or anything, but they need to feel empowered that it's not oh my goodness, I don't know what to do next with this piece of technology. But they do need to be aware of what's out there, and they need to be aware of even the smallest things, not to click on a phishing email, what the implications are, things like that.
Samara, thank you. Right. This is hopefully was a tee up for our audience and our listeners. And I want to close with this just to make sure everybody understands this document. You can Google it. There's a fact sheet. This, the document that Samara and I are delving into at a high level today, and we'll deeper dive into and distill a bit. ONCD developed the NCWES, which is the acronym for this wonderful document, in collaboration with 34 departments, agencies, and executive office of the president components, and based on extensive input from hundreds of key external stakeholders. So it wasn't done in a vacuum. It's not just a government sort of mandate. It's a document, or as Samara pointed out, like zero trust. It's a framework. It's a discussion that will not end. So with that, Samara, do you have a parting shot?
I'll give a quick parting shot. I love that this ends with saying it's a whole of nation call to action. So just to echo everything that you've just said, this involves everybody. And this document really is a call to action to everybody.
Tweetable moment, folks, from Samara Schulman, President OnPoint Consulting. Samara, I will be talking to you soon on Pillar One. And until then, have a great rest of your day.
And thanks, Pete. Same to you.